Welcome back to Shoujo, the Shoujo anime recap and discussion podcast, because we ain't recapping, we're also talking about it. I'm your host, Sarah, the veteran Shoujo viewer, showing my friend Joe here Shoujo. And so we are Shoujo. So good. I don't know why I keep complimenting our title, but I'll never stop because it's just so good.
I just think about it every time I give this intro. And I'm just like, yeah, that was a good one. If only one of us would have thought of it.
Yeah, no. All credit goes to my sister. It was right there in front of us. We'll have to look back and see what kind of titles we were trying to think of. And then it just getting your nails done. And she was like, just call Shoujo.
So long ago.
Yeah, it's been a year, and it's been quite the year.
Episode summaries every week of my life.
Oh, what if we didn't do this?
Yeah, it's been so long. I don't even remember a time when I didn't have to write episode summaries.
Okay, you want to end the podcast?
No, I've become so good at it.
Okay, good.
Maybe I should be just a recap. I could just recap everything. No, it's important that they've gotten worse. They've gotten so bad. This recent three episodes is like 4,000 words.
Okay, that's because these three episodes of The Rose of Versailles we're going to talk about today are crazy. Insane. They're incredible. Oh my gosh.
I watched episode 19 four times.
Oh, wow. Okay. But before we get into why they were so good, first, let's gab like old pals, Joe.
That's right.
What's
Maybe
up?
You should start. Did you see any sorts of shows in the last week?
I watched Survivor.
Okay.
Did I watch something? Are you referencing something in particular?
You did.
I did.
You posted about it on the Instagram.
Oh.
Did you perhaps go to a show?
Yeah. So I thought you meant like a TV show. Yes, I and good friend of the podcast, Jenny, went to see Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon live. I did not realize until I was there that that's like the full name of the show. I thought it was just Sailor Moon, but like that's the full name, Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon. But yeah, went and saw it live at the Bass Concert Hall, and it was really fun. And as always, merch lines insanely long, and then the one good thing is sold out when you want it, so we didn't have fun glow sticks to wave when they cued us to. But yeah, it was all in Japanese. I think they're all Japanese performers, so that was really cool. And because I myself have watched the first season of the old Sailor Moon, and just because I felt like I needed to watch it as an anime fan, and I'm sure we'll cover it here at some point. Jenny said we should cover the version that's been redubbed. I guess there's like a redub
Crystal
thing happening.
Is she talking about Crystal? Or is she talking about the redub? Because that. For a Secret Santa, I did have to acquire all of the original DIC dub for her.
Which was a whole
thing. And that was not easy to do.
Oh, you're such a good Secret Santa, Joe.
Uh-huh.
What a good friend. And me and Jenny hung out. And now, Jenny, if you're listening, it'll be my turn now to invite us to a fun thing. I'll make sure it's worthwhile. But yeah, so that's why I did on Saturday.
So you're gonna be a regular theater goer now?
No.
You're gonna be going on the circuit? You're gonna be watching I don't know, what's popular now? Hadestown? That's old. What's
I've
new?
I've never heard of that.
What's the new hot theater?
Lion King with what Northwest or whatever. The Kim Kardashian's kid in Lion King. Isn't that what's popular right now? No.
I'm looking at.
You haven't seen it? Where nepotism at the max.
Nepotism higher, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes nepotism babies are good at stuff still.
Not the case here.
I see.
Although they are a child, so it's like, should we be ripping them a new one? But also, maybe we should. I don't know. Let's see.
There's a Great Gatsby play.
Yeah, no, I did not enjoy the book. I don't need to watch a music cool about it. Daisy is just so annoying, and no one's likable. Show.
Well, it's about what if you hung out with a bunch of rich people and had a terrible time?
Yeah, not doing it for me. Let's see. Just kind of more chilling out. I'm trying to think if I watched anything new, but no, I don't feel like I have anything crazy to talk about. We did have, which was cool, on Friday there was like this music event happening with the local classical music station, where it was about like the art of making video game music. And so like this, what do you call it when it's like all the instrument, like it's just a band, a live band, orchestra, I don't know.
Was
classical
it? Like there was actual
instruments
people there?
Yeah, playing music from our game, and it was really cool. Yeah, so that was fun. So work should be not as hectic now, so I should have time once I like gather the energy again to start gaming more, not just like playing my farming sim while listening to podcasts about terrible things. So how about you, Joe? I'm sure you've been up to much more exciting things.
I've been to several birthday parties. This is like a birthday party time for me, I guess. So I've gone out drinking a couple nights. That's been fine. I don't really drink as much as I used to, so that's like not a new, but I'm just like, oh yeah, right, I need to like think about the order in which I drink certain drinks and do some other stuff, and you know, yeah. So that was interesting. I watched Casablanca for the first time. I watched a 4K screening of it at a theater. It was good. I had never seen it. It's fun.
Here's to you, kid. Right.
That's right. Yeah, I recognized all the famous lines in it. But there was a lot of stuff I was surprised by. Like, I didn't realize that it was only the course of like 2 days, that whole story. It's very like condensed time wise. And it's also like pretty much only has like three sets, more or less. Like, there's only three locations, which I thought was interesting.
Save a buck.
So that was pretty cool.
Save a buck in production.
Yeah. But it was really good. I liked it a lot. It was a lot funnier than I was expecting it to be.
Okay, maybe I'll check it out. What about Shrek? Didn't you watch a bunch of Shrek movies?
Yes, my friends like a weekend ago did a Shrek marathon. I didn't make it to the fourth one because I was burnt out, but I did watch the first three Shrek movies again. So there's that. And then last night I watched Snow White. Like the original Snow White.
Okay, never mind.
No, the original one, because we may do a thing where we watch all of the Disney animated movies. I don't know if we're actually gonna commit to that or not, but it's very funny to watch Shrek 2, where they parody a bunch of Snow White stuff, watch Snow White.
Holds up a freaking century later almost.
I like it quite a bit. I find the they used rotoscoping in this one, right? I think they did something like that, or like they drew over to something. I find it pretty
charming.
You're
not asking me that question.
It's older, but it holds up pretty well. It's mostly just like a bunch of slapstick stuff with the dwarves. I didn't really remember the like, there's a lot of like on-screen narration I just didn't remember, but yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
Okay, nice. Yeah,
old stuff. I'm into old stuff, it turns out.
Yeah, might as well while we're watching an older anime.
It's true. I can't think if I've done anything like more recent.
This could be the longest stretch of time in the history of the podcast where you don't have any mech stuff to talk about. And I think.
I mean, I could. I'm watching.
That. No.
I'm watching After War Gundam X. It's pretty good so far.
Good
I like
title.
How it's like the first AU or like non-Universal Century show that is doing stuff with new types. That's interesting. I appreciate that. Yeah. Sometimes the Gundams snowboard. That's fun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is fun. Nice.
So it's been good so far. Yeah, I could, you know, I could talk
about
it. I can always talk about
that. Nah, that's okay.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of anything else I've watched.
Right?
I watched some of, I've been re, or for the first time, I guess. So I read Blue Exorcist a long time ago when I had a Shonen Jump subscription. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, maybe I should just watch the show because it's been like enough years to where I don't feel like I'm just going to rewatch the same thing. So I watched like season three of Blue Exorcist and it was fine.
Well, it just came out after a long hiatus, right?
Yeah. They've been like making more of it, which I'm surprised by, but okay.
I think I tried to watch the first episode and nothing about it really like felt different to me.
Yeah, it's more of like, it does the, like, imagine you just went on adventures with a bunch of your friends thing pretty well. Like, it does give the time to, like, have all the characters hang out and, like, bounce off each other, which is pretty good. Mm. Because I feel like most things now don't actually do that very much.
Yeah, how can I believe you're going to risk your life for that person when we've never seen you hang out with that person?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, y'all don't even tell jokes to each other.
Uh-huh.
You're going to die for this person? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's mostly it. I don't really think... Oh, I mean Animal Well. I think I talked about that last time.
Animal Well.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I talked about that last time. The little platformer. It's got pixel art, and there's like creepy little animals in this well, but some of them are nice, and some of them are mean. Metroidvania.
I feel like... Okay, maybe you mentioned it in passing.
Oh, okay. Well, I did beat that. I'm playing Gears Tactics still.
Okay, nice. Nice, nice, nice.
That's about it.
Okay. All right. Well, do we want to get to the good stuff? Because boy, is it good. Oh my gosh, I have so much to say.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a very long episode.
Yeah.
Depending on just how long I talk about specifically episode 19, which is like an incredible episode to me. That I had to watch it so many times.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
so I guess we'll just go into it.
Yes, let's do it.
The other episodes are also good.
Yes.
All right. So episode 19 is called Farewell, My Young Sister. We open on Charlotte receiving many gifts from an unknown person. In a carriage, we see Madame Pontiac talk with a man about marrying her daughter. She comments that Charlotte is only 11 years old, but he says the younger, the better. We see this man, and he is a tall, creepy, vampire-ass looking motherfucker. He also looks like he's, like, 50. He's, like, enormous and weird.
God, his eyes are, like, creepy, and, like, I felt, like, immediately, like, I had to double-check that this wasn't another episode skip, because I was like, this feels so dark in comparison to all the episodes before. But then they said she was 11. And I was like, okay, I guess this is still the same time.
Yep. Pontiac tells her daughter that this is Duke Roland de Guiche. I don't know. I'm going to call him Roland. And she's going to marry him. We cut to a fountain with a stone frog statue spitting water out of its mouth, like as a little stream. This frog's going to come up a lot, which is why I'm mentioning it here. Mm-hmm. And it rules. Roland asks Charlotte if she likes his gifts and then starts laughing like a creep. Charlotte is so horrified that she faints, and we get another look at the frog statue as the OP plays.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about how much they're flashing to that thing. Until you're calling it out.
I got stuff to say about this frog.
Will you share the script so I can see too, so I don't interrupt you constantly? Oh,
I have.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't wait.
I'm streaming it. I'm streaming it in Discord right now.
Oh, wait,
it says
hold on.
Live next to my name.
I might have checked a setting. Oops. Okay, let me add a marker to cut this. Oops.
Okay. Are you able to see it?
Yeah, I think I did a thing where I like show non-video participants, but okay, here we go. I can see it now. All good. Okay. Continue.
When we get back, we see Rosalie riding a horse. She's going hard as Oscar and Andre watch on. They talk about whether or not Rosalie will give up on her revenge plot against Pontiac or not.
Yeah, because, like, everyone's hair seems longer. Like, I just was like, these episodes feel like the art style changed a little bit. Like, dude's chins are, like, bigger than they used to be. And, I don't know, something, like, there's, like, you can feel a difference and shift between the previous part of the show and these episodes now.
Yeah. There's definitely a tone shift.
Yes.
Yeah, Rosalie's good at riding a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I like
she's determined.
Yeah, she is good. She's a born rider. She can't sword fight, but she can ride a horse.
That's right. And we've seen many injuries can be acquired just falling off a horse, let alone,
unlike Marie,
driving one. Yeah,
Rosalie can ride a horse.
Mm-hmm.
We cut back to Polignac telling her daughter that she will marry Roland, and she's like, it'll be great for the family and also for you. This is like every woman's dream. You'll be a duchess, and also he has like a high government position. It's perfect. I did the perfect thing for you, daughter. Charlotte is listening with like the most disaffected, like thousand yard stare look. She screams as one of the ladies brushing her hair, like does a little too hard, and says that she doesn't want anyone touching her. She begs her mom not to marry her off because she hasn't thought about being married or any of this stuff because she's only 11.
Yeah.
This episode reminds you,
my God,
that Charlotte is 11 every 2 minutes.
That's because we've introduced someone very interested in that low number. Oh my God. Right. It's more so that like this isn't like necessarily a dream come true, but it's the only dream women are allowed to have, basically, is the.
Yes. Well, this is going to be, she says it's good for the family, but like, what is the family at this point? Right. It's Polignac, Charlotte, and her husband. Who is this good for?
We'll never see.
Who will never see because he sucks.
Absentee father.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I feel like we should just talk about the whole thing at the end. Sorry. No, it's fine. I just meant that's like a grander point I'll make later on. There's so much. Yeah, we should just do it while we go across. I don't know. We'll do whatever. let's see. Polignac tells her daughter that sooner or later, a woman must be loved by a man. That's where a woman's happiness lies. We cut to another ball. Polignac, Charlotte, and Oscar are there. Polignac is socializing while Charlotte sits alone in a corner. Oscar watches this all because all she ever does at the ball is brood. She's always just leaning against the column. Well, just looking out at everyone.
She only attended the last ones because Rosalie came with her. So I'm like, why is she coming to these now that if Rosalie isn't there?
Yeah, well, we learned that Rosalie was supposed to go. We jump back to Andre back at the Chargé's manor. He's bringing a horse to stable and sees Rosalie leaning out of a window. He asks her why she didn't go to the ball. And she says that Polignac would be there, so she didn't want to go. And also, it's her mom's, like her late mom's birthday. And so if she went on this day and saw Polignac, she would not know how she would handle that. So she just didn't go. So that's why I assume Oscar's there. Back at the ball, Oscar downs a drink while listening to some nobles gossip about Charlotte's engagement to Roland. We learn that he's 43 and has a reputation for liking them young. Oscar watches Charlotte leave.
We're all just talking about it as a known fact. And
everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this.
Oh, God.
Hey, remember how, like, every famous person knew about Epstein Island and just did nothing? Anyway, Oscar goes outside and sees Ghirardelle and some guards patrolling the grounds. She checks in on them and then she just, like, walks off. Ghirardelle's like, is it really okay for you just to wander off like that? And she just ignores him and keeps walking. But we get a Ghirardelle check-in. So that's fun. We love seeing Ghirardelle.
Yeah, he's got purdy hair still.
We see Charlotte sitting alone next to a fountain. The stone frog has been turned off, and there's no water running on it. Or out of it. Oscar approaches and tells Charlotte that she shouldn't be out this far alone. She's like, the guards don't even come out this far. If she wanted to be alone, she should go back to her room. Charlotte looks at Oscar as maybe the only person in the world who would understand her. But she doesn't. Oscar just tells her to go back to the house. Charlotte looks horrified. Oscar offers to walk her back, and Charlotte starts crying. Charlotte runs to Oscar and falls to her knees. She tells Oscar she wishes she could have grown up a little bit more and fallen in love with somebody like her. The wind picks up as dramatic harpsichord music starts playing. Lots of really good harpsichord music in this episode.
Very dramatic moment.
Oscar says they should go, and Charlotte plucks the rose brooch from Oscar and tells her to let her have it. And then she dashes off, clutching the rose, crying.
Yeah, I could see that being disappointing, like, because she probably, in that moment, want Oscar to save you, because Oscar clearly overheard all that stuff. Normally, Oscar would stand up for something like that. But also, this is like someone else's child. So how much do you involve yourself with like a kid you don't really know that well?
She has involved herself with a kid she didn't really know that well.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe because she's Polignac's daughter. She's just like, I don't want to get involved.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, Joe, don't say anything.
we're gonna talk about this more.
Yep.
It's the next day, and Andre is writing to tell Oscar that he has news. But before he says what the news is, he asks where Rosalie is, and Oscar tells her that she's off somewhere. He says that's good because she wouldn't want her to hear this, because he's learned who Martine Gabrielle is. But just then, Rosalie returned from writing and, like, walks up the steps, and, like, outside and hears Andre. Mm-hmm. He says that Martine Gabrielle changed both of her first and last name after she got married for some reason. Her name is Sharon now. And Oscar's like, Sharon, don't I know a Sharon? And Andre's like, yeah, you do know a Sharon. It's Madame Sharon DePolniak. Both Oscar and Rosalie, who was listening in, are shocked. We cut to Oscar, Andre, and Rosalie in the manor tower looking at the sunset, where they must have just explained all of this to her.
Yeah, skip that part.
Just, yeah, we're just, you know, you just heard it. It's very funny to have, like, her hear it on her own, even though it didn't have any consequences.
Yeah, that's true, right? She wasn't like, how could you not tell me you should have been blah, 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 something. No, we're just,
it's good drama,
dramatically
though.
Look at the sunset from the tower.
Yeah. Oscar tells her that when she originally took her to this tower the first time, she told her that she'd help her get revenge, but she was actually lying. She never wanted her to get revenge. She always wanted to try to talk Rosalie out of it. Andre comments that this entire situation is some cruel irony. Oscar then apologizes to Rosalie because this whole thing has just turned out to be one great agony. Rosalie counters by saying this is not agony to her, because she only ever had one mother, Nicole, the one who raised her. She feels nothing towards her birth mother. In fact, if anything, she hates her even more now. She's going to go prove that she only has one mother.
Yeah, she is.
It's the middle of the night, and we see Rosalie grab a pistol and ride off. In the morning, Oscar is drilling the troops. Andre comes to tell her that no one has seen Rosalie because she's gone missing. However, he does know where Polignac's going to be, because she's going to be at Roland's estate. Oscar says that Rosalie will likely go there. We cut to Roland's estate, which is a Dracula-looking-ass castle, I swear to God.
I don't know, it's kind of like a nice castle. It's on a hill, overlooking. I'm like, that seems nice to not be, like, right where everyone else is, but this is probably, like, the house of horrors for young girls in, like, the area.
Simon Belmont's looking at this thing like he's about to go assault it. You know what I mean? Dracula Castle. Inside, Charlotte is being held hostage at a candlelit dinner with Roland, her mother, and a bunch of nobles. Roland jokes about having Charlotte stay the night, and everybody laughs, including her mother. Charlotte can only stare at the floor, and she whispers into her brooch, which we see is the same rose she took from Oscar, asking Oscar to help her. Guess who's not going to help you?
I know!
Polignac and Charlotte leave in a carriage. What?
Help her!
We see that Charlotte is asleep in the carriage. While riding, the carriage is stopped on a bridge as a horse rider blocks the way. It's Rosalie, and she points a gun at the drivers and tells them to get off. Then she drags the carriage off into the woods with her, as we see Oscar and Andre pursuing. In the woods, Rosalie points a pistol at Polignac. Polignac is like, oh, it's you. Uh-oh. Rosalie tells her not to speak. Yeah.
I'm so here for it. She's just taking the moment, you know, just
let's go
doing it.
This is how you do it. You don't kill somebody at the ball in front of the queen. You pull them into the woods and shoot them in the face.
Well, I'm just like loving the conviction and taking action. This that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Rosalie tells her not to speak. All she has to do is pull the trigger. Polignac tries to run, but trips on the hem of her dress and falls. Rosalie, however, cannot bring herself to do it. She can't shoot Polignac. Oscar walks up to her, and Rosalie embraces her. Oscar says that a kind-hearted girl like Rosalie could never shoot her real mother. Polignac hears this and asks what that meant. Oscar explains the situation, much to Polignac's horror. Oscar, Rosalie, and Andre mount up to leave, but before going, Oscar and Rosalie look in the carriage to see a sleeping Charlotte. Oscar tells Rosalie that Charlotte is her sister, and if she would have shot Polignac, then Charlotte would have been the next one grieving, which... I don't know, Oscar. I feel like that's a complete misread of what's going on here. Rosalie insists that Charlotte is not her sister. She's just a total stranger. And then the two of them ride off. Or all of them. Andre also rides off. Later that night, Polignac stares at the windy night. She thinks about how Rosalie was the daughter she had when she was 15. And dear God, that means that the woman she killed was Nicole. She loved Nicole. She curses herself and her fate. In the windy dark, we see the frog statue again, spitting water as Charlotte dreams about it. Then we cut to Charlotte having a nightmare and then back to the frog. Sometime later, Queen Marie is announced at a ball because we're at another ball. Followed by this, we get Count Fersen, who's still in town, I guess.
Yeah. gonna cling on as long as he can. Marie he sure has like is. This huge smile slapped on her face. Like
that's because first it's there.
Giddy as could be. Yeah. Doesn't she know serious stuff is going down? This ain't a fun show anymore. We're freaking doom
she
and
is
gloom
not,
now.
She's not paying attention to this at all. Everyone is dancing and having a good time. Oscar, Andre, and Rosalie are all here too. Everyone's here. The gang's all here. And Oscar's surprised to see Rosalie, but she says that she's here to relax a little after everything that's happened. Just a nice, relaxing ball where nothing will go wrong. Elsewhere, totally. Charlotte's on her way when she sees Roland waiting for her on the staircase. He drags her into a dark room, clearly enjoying tormenting her. She cowers by the window, but he tells her that he just wants to kiss her hand. He pulls her hand out and kisses it, laughing. He says, "See, this that was it. I'm leaving now," and then leaves. Charlotte is left in a state of shock as she looks at her trembling hand.
Oh, God, that poor girl must have been so scary. Because I would just use, well, does she even know what the worst case scenario is? Has that been, like, taught to her yet? Because
I think she knows.
Okay, then she just, like, was like, oh, it could have been so much worse than it was, and it will be, because my mom won't get me out of this, so.
Yeah.
Just in a desperate state of mind.
She runs outside. It's windy as she makes her way to the frog fountain. She stares at the frog for a long time, and then she totally breaks. She starts laughing maniacally. She starts washing her hand off in the fountain while being, like, drenched by all the water coming down. The music in the ball stops as a man asks a messenger to repeat himself. The messenger says that Charlotte is standing on top of a tower. Everybody runs out to see that, indeed, Charlotte is standing on top of a tower. We see Charlotte, dress billowing in the wind as she holds Oscar's rose. She raises it up above her head and says that she washed her hands so well that now she can be pure and beautiful again, just like this rose. She says she doesn't want to marry as she and the rose fall.
Yikes.
We hear a crash and see the rose scatter on the ground next to the body of Charlotte. Polignac comes to mourn her daughter. Oscar and Andre silently turn to Rosalie as she says that she is not sad. She didn't even know her. She faces away and says that blood relatives can be total strangers, too. But then she turns and we see that she's crying. She rushes over to embrace Oscar while crying, saying that Charlotte died without even knowing that she was her sister. She says her little sister was only 11 years old as they cut to credits.
Goddamn. This show is taking a turn.
Incredible episode. Just incredible. God.
You know,
it's just
I just
throwing
thought,
haymakers. What?
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's interesting that, or I guess intentional probably, that like both these sisters are in love with Oscar and only Rosalie gets to be the one comforted by her and taken in by her. And like, you know, she thought, you know, like if she had stayed with her mom, she maybe would have ended up like that as well if her mom hadn't given her away. So. Maybe it was like better to go through that than to be this woman's daughter.
Yeah. There's just like so much going on in this episode.
Yes.
There's so much going on. What do we want to start with?
I don't know. Oh, God. Freaking bummer ass episode.
Should we start with?
Right off the bat. Predator.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the fact that, Roland, everybody knew this about Roland and nobody does anything. They think it's like amusing, right? Like all the nobles just gossip about this like it's any other piece of gossip and like incredibly
like,
unserious.
What's the rush? You're in the queen's good graces. Why do you feel the need to rush your 11-year-old daughter into marriage when you're in like a stable place right now?
See,
or because Marie's temper could like turn for the worst against her or something. But I'm just like, it seems out of nowhere and very drastic, or like at least just promise and not that this is happening soon.
Well, this was, I mean, this was foreshadowed in like a couple episodes ago when we first meet Charlotte and we learned that she's 11 because people joke about Polignac marrying her off. This is like a thing people expected her to do. But why does Polignac do this? Because she's supposed to be the most powerful woman in France, right? You think she wouldn't have to do something like this, but she just does it anyway? For the family?
Or her daughter is on to her and all her scheming. It's like, I gotta get her out of here, out of the way, so she's not seeing all this stuff I'm trying to sabotage. Because I can't hide my plans from a child.
Well,
and
I don't
also,
think that's,
it's like, right, we didn't think Charlotte was 11 at first, so maybe it was like intentional to try to present her as an adult more than she actually was. like, and that was all the plan, because she's, you know, fit in with the rest of the crowd despite being so much younger than them, that maybe she's just been groomed for this for a long time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just dumped a bunch of words.
No, I mean, like, this seems like a thing she would do regardless. Like, I don't think this is any kind of, like, punishment or anything. Like, when she says that, like, to be loved by a man is, like, a woman's source of happiness, she seems to, like, either she believes that or she's gonna try to believe that kind of thing.
She doesn't believe it, but there's no other option, really.
But she basically forces this to happen.
Although this girl is seeing Charlotte, or seeing Oscar, so it's like, there is another option. You don't have to, but
Well, it really is another option.
She's the villain.
I know, but like, the thing about that's interesting about Polignac is that she isn't ever presented as like a villain here. Like, the way, like, the reaction she has from like learning that she killed Nicole, or like learning that her daughter dies, are just like very authentic, normal person reactions to things, right? Like, she said, she's not conniving. Like, this is not, we're going to get an episode later with Jean, and Jean is not going to react like that, right?
No.
Like, because it's like in there. So I really do like the commitment of like, Polignac is just like a, for the most part, regular woman. And I guess what regular women do is they sell their daughters off, because that's what you did at the time. And you just never really thought too much about it, because women were property. So you treat them like property, even though you yourself are one.
Well, yeah, right. She got knocked up at 15. So we don't really know what her childhood looked like either. But yeah, like, your sister does you a favor, or this lady does you a favor of taking this kid that you didn't want to keep at the time, and then you end up killing her. And it's like, oh God, the twist of fate. And it's crazy. Well, it could be like, I feel like, right, she's not super villainous right now, but all these things keep happening because of her. And so I could see her just kind of spiraling, and like, there's no reason to like hold back anymore, and just full blown losing it, and like, you know, kind of like losing the reason she had to begin with to be ambitious, and just, I don't know, going rogue.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We don't see Polignac in the next two episodes, so we don't really get anything from her from there.
No.
But it is interesting that like, you would do this thing which feels like a desperation move, but she's doing it at like her apex of power, more or less, right? Like, what is the point of becoming the most influential woman in France if you're still having to sell your daughter off to like a weird pedophile?
Also, she's only 11, and maybe Marie Antoinette is gonna have a kid soon. It's a boy. You could just like marry her off to her kid, and then she'd be the next queen or something, maybe. Or like forge the bond between the two of them by having their children bonded to or something. I don't know.
It just seems like there's other options that she's just not pursuing, because she's just trying to like solidify her own position. And that's what she means. Like, when she says it's for the family, it's really for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it for the, I can't tell what she actually believes or not. Because part of this is just like, this is the thing you do. I mean, I assume that like, mothers were being somewhat discerning to who they bury their daughters off to. I don't think they would just go with whoever.
Well, maybe, right, her first daughter she gave away, so maybe she sees them as more like expendable than most
folks. But she is sad when she dies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she understands what's happening.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because she is very much just like, oh, you're just young, Charlotte. You'll get it. It's fine.
She's young. Like, she shouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Charlotte's just living a nightmare. The fact, do you want to talk about Oscar in this episode?
What, about how like cold she is to this poor child?
Just like,
where's the sense of justice we normally see?
This is the thing. This whole episode, Oscar is completely out of pocket about everything, right? Because it's like, all this stuff she's talking about with Rosalie being like, oh, well, of course you couldn't kill your birth mother. And it's like, I don't think Rosalie actually cares. I think she just doesn't want to kill somebody. I don't think Rosalie would shoot anybody point blank in the face.
Yeah, I guess now it's a good thing that she didn't try to stab her earlier, because she wouldn't have gone through with it and she would have been caught.
Yeah, like, I think Oscar's really weird in this episode in a way that I like, because I think it gives you ideas about like what her deal is. And like, the fact that Oscar believes in tradition is like the Achilles heel in this whole thing, right? Like, She can't help Charlotte because this is just what nobles do. This is what Oscar was supposed to do if she would have been raised as a woman, right? This is what happened to her sisters. I mean, if she was going to, like, acknowledge that this is basically just, like, a sex slavery kind of activity going on, right? Like turning people into property. She would have to, like, confront the entire culture around her and, like, what has happened to the people that she knows.
Yeah, we could be, like, you know, it's slowly dawning on her that, like, there's not much she can do from her position. And so to be able to do the few things she can, she has to overlook a lot of other things that goes against her nature.
Yeah. And this is, like, I had flashbacks when watching this of being like, hey, remember a couple episodes ago when she, like, talks to her dad about, like, how messed up everything in France is and how the peasants mm-hmm. are being, like, they're, like, all dying of starvation and, like, can't go to the doctor or make ends meet. And her dad was like, anytime you spend thinking about this, you should be practicing her sword. And at the end of the episode, she goes and practices her sword. And she hasn't mentioned it ever since.
Yeah.
She just did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
so yeah.
Freaking crazy ass episode.
Yeah. Not your hero.
No.
Oscar is not your hero, it turns out.
Or Charlotte. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. The fact that, like, she's out there in the fountain and, like, Oscar comes up to her and the only thing she has to say to her is to get back inside.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You could have done. You could have at least offered some kind of, like, encouraging words, give her hope.
Nothing. Like,
yeah, tough. She is, oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully this, like, I don't know if it will, but hopefully Oscar at some point, like, shows, well, because we see the episodes afterwards and we don't touch on if this affecting her at all, but
I don't think so.
You would hope she would have, you know, she was so upset about some guy shooting a little child in the streets, and then this is something she could have, you know, there's more time to intervene. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm like, surely this has happened before, surely this happens a lot where, like, women don't have much of an option and this is what they, you know, this is how they escape it. Maybe this is, like, super normal, or at least it happens once a generation or something. I don't know.
Well, like, you know, Roland can only have a reputation for liking young girls if he's done it before.
Yeah. He'll probably never see him again.
Hopefully we don't ever see him again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
Ugh.
So I've been trying to figure out what's going on with this frog statue,
uh-huh.
Because it shows up a lot, right? I mean, this is, like, the manifestation of, like, Charlotte's horror about, like, what her future is going to be.
Ooh, we're getting deep.
The Wikipedia for, like, the Rose of Versailles wiki, which I never look at, mm-hmm. but I did for this, says that it's, like, a symbol of rebirth, or, like, she imagines it's, like, a symbol of rebirth, so she could, like, be born as, like, a commoner, or, like, not in the position that she's in. I don't know if that's true. I couldn't really find anything to back up that frogs represent reincarnation.
Yeah.
I've seen that they represent, like, good fortune sometimes in some Japanese things, although they never really give me a reference for that, just, like, a lot of websites saying that, so I don't really know where that comes from either. But I do, like, this episode is the most clear it's been that, like, there's a constructed state that France is in where if you're not at Versailles, you're, like, a peasant and you're being, like, ground to dust, right? Like, you have nothing. Like, you're starving to death, you can't, like, buy medicine for your dying mother, those kinds of things. But then if you're at Versailles, like, even if you're a noble, it's like you're still getting sold off to a pedophile so that your mom can solidify her position. And, like, you know, if you're Oscar, you just can't do anything, you just assume everything's fine, and you're just blindsided when, like, a child that you talked to the other day kills themselves. It's like every single person is living in hell. Like, living in Versailles is being in hell.
She also cried when that kid got shot and there was people around.
Uh-huh.
But, like, she did not for this.
Nope. But so Oscar's older, like, now.
Because, yeah, oh, I guess that's true.
That spirit she had, do we think it's resigned. Still there?
I mean, still crying over some stuff of not the same consequence as this.
Yeah, it's this is, like, you know, early on in this show, I'm like, at the end of it, are we going to see Oscar the revolutionary, or are we going to see Oscar the cop? And I think we're going to see Oscar the cop at the end of this.
Boo.
Maybe she will get her head cut off. Who knows?
Maybe.
This has not been.
Is Rosalie going to turn on her and be our little? No, I'm trying to think.
Rosalie's the only one who cried here.
Yeah.
Oscar and Andre just look at her. The turn they do is very funny, but they just look at her.
Well, also, like, I feel like maybe they shouldn't have shown the body afterwards, because again, it's like something horrific happened and there's like no visual indication. Like,
oh, I mean, the
does it take away from the moment? Like, maybe they should have just.
I think the I mean, the rose is the indication, right? Because it like scatters at the bottom.
But we also
like,
see Charlotte on the ground and like.
Did you want to see like a blood stain?
No,
like, what
I'm
did you want to see?
They shouldn't have shown her at all. Just have a shot of the flower, like petals scattered, and not her with her mom clutching onto her.
I feel like you need to show that. I feel like that's better.
Fine.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I like how the show shows violence. I like how the show shows death kind of thing.
Oh my God, Joe.
We're like
46 minutes in.
I know. This is what I'm saying. This is a great episode. Her whole thing about like, I don't want people to touch me. That was like, this show goes for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the most like, oh, you're like going for a thing now. And we're like really here for it.
This is a lot heavier than shoujo. Normally,
yeah, it's incredible. It's the most like, I was not expecting this level of what we're doing here. I was not expecting this level of like real world stuff that happens and like actually portraying it in a way that it happens.
Yeah.
Like being married off is terrible. It's like the worst thing that can happen to you if it goes bad, if it's to this guy.
Yes. I feel like we should have like seen that Polniak would be her mother. Because that seems like the kind of thing that happens in a soap opera now. And like, this is the kind of thing
that came out of nowhere originated. I didn't
expect
that at all.
I didn't think about it, but because everyone has blonde hair there. How are we supposed to know?
Oh, this is why it's like haymakers in this episode. It's like Charlotte is going to get married off to some gross Dracula guy. Rosalie's getting over it. Just kidding. Polniak is her mom. And I'm just like, oh, shit. And it just kept going.
Haymakers?
What? A haymaker? That's like when you punch somebody, like real, kind of out of nowhere.
Okay.
It's like a,
turn of events.
Yeah, it's like you're getting hit blow after blow.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, should we move on to the next episode?
Yeah, sure, we'll move on to the next episode. Oh, it's so good, though. It's so bleak.
Oh,
I love the bleakness of it.
God, so much happened. It's insane how much can happen in like 20 minutes. For sure.
Yeah. Don't worry. Episode 20, I don't remember anything, and I feel like nothing happens.
You didn't watch it 4 times?
I did not watch episode 20 4 times. The Rose of Versailles, episode 20, is called Fersen, a farewell rondo. We open on Fersen and Marie embracing in the woods as the sun begins to rise. They lament the end of their secret rendezvous because they are having an affair for real now. We see a forlorn Fersen ride home in the morning. We cut to Fersen and Oscar sparring at the Jarjays estate as Andre watches on while eating an apple. We cut to Fersen talking to Oscar in the parlor. He says that he just stopped by to spar. No other reason. Andre watches on while eating a different apple. Fersen turns to Andre and says, hey man, we should go to that cheap bar in Paris you mentioned a while ago and have a drink, like as bros. He mounts up to leave, and Oscar tells him that he should stay longer next time. And he sets off. Andre tosses Oscar an apple. He says that if he took Fersen to that bar, they'd run his ass out in like 5 minutes. And then he takes out another apple and bites it. This is an insane sequence of events.
Why? Where? Like, well, okay, I'm assuming the apples are like, I can't even bear to watch Oscar and this guy, so I'm just going to eat an apple, so I have an excuse not to say anything that's going to get me in trouble, maybe, but I'm like, why are there so many apples?
The apple is knowledge. It's the apple of knowledge, and he looks on being like, yeah, they're into each other, they're not going to say anything, but I know, because I'm Andre. Hey, here's an apple, Oscar.
And then
maybe you can learn
something. I feel like the art has changed a little because Fersen isn't as hot as he used to be. What?
Because he's
happened?
Sad. Yeah, he is longer.
The chins are crazy now.
The chins have gotten pretty rough.
What happened? I don't like it. Bring it back.
Back in the parlor, Andre explains that everyone is talking about Queen Marie and her Swedish lover while tossing around an apple. I'm sorry, I wasn't done with the apple events yet. He speculates that Fersen knows this and is tormented by it, which is why he's acting so weird. Why would he do something that torments him so much? What's so hard about loving and being loved? Andre says. There are plenty of loves that can't be confessed in this world. Upon hearing this, Oscar turns and looks at Andre. She tells him to grab his sword, and they go out to spar, and Oscar tells him not to hold back today. He says fine, he's not planning on holding back at all anymore. They sword fight, and in Andre's mind, he pleads with Oscar to forget about Fursun.
God, yeah, that statement he made, it applies to both of them. Yeah. Okay.
I like how Oscar can only flirt through sword fights.
That little flirt, just...
Yeah, it's like... Here's how I, Oscar, will express my feelings to you by sparring.
Yes, that's the only way she can, like... It's like she can't just talk to somebody. She has to be doing something, like, productive. And that productive thing is sword fighting, which will, I guess, come in handy for first and later, probably. I have something to say about this next point. Make sure I say it.
I'm just going to say, I love when I tell somebody that there's lots of types of loves that can't be expressed out loud, and then they turn and tell me to grab my sword. Andre's like, this is easy. I'm in love with Oscar. I'm just not going to say it. We both know. Why is Fursun getting so hung up on this?
God. Okay.
All right. It's the next day, and the nobles are all gossiping about Marie and Fursun. Nope. Oh, I'm sorry. We cut to the slums of Paris, where some impoverished men lament their situation, saying that all they have to look forward to is a stiff drink at the end of the day.
Okay, this is where we see the guy, right?
The guy playing the accordion?
Yes! I was like, okay, I made a note that I bet Joe loves this guy. He's got an eye patch, a pirate hat, and he's playing an accordion.
He's like a pirate man.
Yeah, and then I made a note later, like, if Joe was in the show, that would be Joe.
OC guy who plays accordion for the French Revolution. Uh-huh. Love that guy.
Yes.
He just talks about how much they like drinking, how it's the only thing they got in their life. All they got in life is a starving family and a stiff drink.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I know you love accessories, and he's just rocking them all.
Dude, I mean, he's probably better off living as a pirate. Maybe that's his dream job now that everything's gone to shit.
Yeah. It's a good time to be a pirate.
It's the next day, and the nobles are all gossiping about Marie and Fursun. They're like, oh, I bet she'll come to, like, the picnic luncheon tomorrow and greet Fursun first. We see Marie at the picnic luncheon tomorrow, and she sees Fursun, but doesn't approach him. Everyone's like, well, that's an obvious ploy. Who does she think she's fooling? We all know that they're, like, super into each other. And Marie and Fursun both think about their secret rendezvous tonight. A second secret rendezvous. Oscar is called to the palace. She sees Marie, and Marie tells her ladies to leave the two of them, so it's just her and Oscar alone. Marie asks Oscar to tell Fursun that she can't make their rendezvous after all. She cries, saying Oscar's the only one she can trust here. So, like, please, Oscar, take this message. She, like, puts her head in her hands and says, I can't look at you if you don't agree. And Oscar agrees, saying that she could never refuse her. Marie tells Oscar that she is her only true ally.
God, poor Oscar, man. Like, this is just in the middle of this whole situation of which.
Yeah.
Just putting her in a tough spot.
Yeah. Marie's like,
she's got her own horse in the race.
Go apologize to my secret boyfriend that I can't make the rendezvous, Oscar. And Oscar's like, of course, anything for you. And then Charlotte's like, Oscar, I don't want to get sold to some pedophile. And Oscar's like, get back in the house.
Oh, right. Okay. You meant to say that. I don't know. What's happening? Don't cater to this brat who is an adult acting like a child. Help the actual child.
It's so painful, dude.
What is
happening? It's so painful. God. Oscar leaves and emotionally rides her horse, which I love it when she does this.
I know. Why is she upset now and not from last episode? Oh my God.
She tells Andre to let her go alone. She rides to a river with a sunset in the background that I really considered making my desktop background because that's an incredible shot. She says out loud what she wished she could say to Marie, which is that she understands Marie's position, but she needs to remember her responsibilities as the Queen of France. You can't be asking me favors while hiding your face like that. She thinks that it's all pointless, though. She could never say that to Marie. It's evening as Oscar goes to Fursun in the rain. She delivers the message and immediately rides off. Fursun tries to stop her because it's raining, but she leaves too quick. She rides for a while until she sees Andre with a rain cloak for her. He tosses it around her as they both ride off. This was cute.
Oh, yeah. Freaking Andre there for her.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, like, what do we think? What do we think Oscar's problem is? Is it that she's like, she both has a, like, she likes Fersen and she also likes Marie and she likes the two of them together, but like, it's mm-hmm. awkward that she's in the middle of this now because she doesn't want to be. And also, Marie needs to stop acting like this because she's supposed to be the Queen of France. And this is embarrassing.
Yeah. It's like a whole thing because she, you know, like, she would judge someone else for doing the same things that Marie Antoinette is doing, but for some reason, because it's her, she's like tolerating a lot more sloppiness than she would. Or, yeah. you know, she like was upset about, worried how people would perceive Marie Antoinette. But like, at some point, you just gotta let go. Like, this chick isn't doing herself any favors. You're just gonna like drain yourself trying to like compensate for her immaturity by doing things on her behalf. And it's probably just frustrating. I don't know, like, a obligation over everything else. But I would be frustrated if it's like, why is this guy who I don't know, why did she kind of like him? Maybe because he like stood up for when Andre was like being punished by the king. And like, yeah. she saw that as noble or something.
Well, he's also the only guy who's like in her social strata that she could be with.
Ghirardel.
But Ghirardel's her subordinate. She can't be with her subordinate.
Fine.
So like, he is the most eligible bachelor for her.
Yeah, but that fact alone wouldn't be enough to make her interested.
That's true. But I'm just saying that like, that is the most like this. He is really the only option, right? Not that that's what she's thinking, but I'm just saying that like, I think on top of everything, there's also that piece, right? Because like, she clearly feels something for Andre, but because she's so like old fat or like, you know, formal or Trickish. Whatever, like bought into like the appearances, she can't ever do anything with that. Yeah.
Well, you think? I was just like, I feel like, or she's just not even allowing that to be an option in her mind and just regards him as like a childhood friend slash.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying about Fersen, though. Like, Fersen could be an option in her mind. Yeah. It's like the only person she'll allow to be an option. I mean, not really, because she's with Marie, so that can't even be an option.
Yeah, but like, oh God, I'd be like, why do you even like this chick? She freaking sucks. I'm so much better, dude. Like, what? And then I'd be like, oh, why do I even like him? He's not that good if he likes Marie Antoinette. But I like Marie Antoinette and da-da-da.
Yep.
Oh God, it's a whole...
It's rough. It's a rough time. Yeah. Back in Paris, a man playing the accordion sings about the misery of France. Let's go. He sings a whole little song. It's
Joe, that's you.
Just got to learn to play that hand accordion. Let's go. We cut to Fersen being sad. He thinks about Marie and then about Oscar. He wonders what Oscar thinks he should do. Back in the Paris streets, we see people are selling tabloids about Marie and Fersen, which is very funny. We go back to Fersen. What? Yeah,
I was going to say, I thought these were going to be like, wait, are they? They're like nudies or something, aren't they? Like,
yeah, it's also that.
I thought someone was going to bring that to court and be like, or show it to the king or something. And that was going to become a whole thing.
Okay, if you listen to that Behind the Bastards podcast thing, they'll talk about how this became like a whole industry where like nobles would print things. Get people to write songs about their rivals, like negative songs. So then people in the streets would sing them, and then the king would get his agents that report back to him saying that the people in the streets are singing about this person. So this is like a whole industry of like tabloid gossip to try to one up each other through like this weird, like twice removed maneuver. So yeah, like what people are gossiping about in the streets matters because the king's agents report to him or whatever.
Yeah, but if you let all the people starve, no one's gonna give you any intel.
That's true. Yeah, this didn't work out for them in the end, because then they started gossiping in the streets about how maybe the king's afraid of the mob. And that's not something you want people to know if you're the king, that you're afraid of them.
One look and you would know he's afraid of everything.
Oh yeah. We cut back to Fersen. He gets news that an old classmate of his died in the American Revolution. The narrator tells us the American Revolution's happening now and that France has allied itself with the Americans. We get like a whole little montage of people blowing up. Elsewhere, Andre is readying the carriage. What?
I was going to say, that's not what our uniforms look. They're all, or is that the French? They're like wearing green, like army green uniforms. I'm like, no one was wearing that, were they?
I mean, like, the American Army didn't really have uniforms because they were just like a bunch of dudes. But like, when I have seen them, they were blue.
Yeah, I don't. Whatever.
I don't know. Elsewhere, Andre is readying the carriage when Oscar comes in to tell him that she's not going to the grand ball tonight. I don't want to go, Andre. Andre's like, listen, everyone's going to be at the grand ball, so the heir of the Jarges family has to make an appearance. You can't just not go. But Oscar says that because everyone's going to be there is why she doesn't want to go. They're all going to be gossiping about my friends Marie and Ferguson. I don't want to go to prom, Andre. Andre says he needs to go so she can, like, help them out. Like, you got to go defend your friends at prom. Oscar says that she doesn't want to be part of it. She's like, this is their problem. It's not my problem. Besides, what am I going to do anyway? Am I just going to, like, cut them all down with a sword? The only thing I'm good at. But Andre says he has an idea because this is Andre's idea, because Andre is the only guy with his head in the game.
That's right, Andre.
Hero of this episode, Andre.
Little advisor, man.
Eating that apple. This is what those apples do for him. He's got all that knowledge. We cut to the grand ball. Everyone who's anyone is there. They all gossip about Ferguson, who's here in a yellow coat. I don't like his coat.
Yeah, no.
He looks around, but sees only gossiping strangers. Marie shows up looking good. She tries not to look at Ferguson, but he looks at her. Outside, Oscar gets out of her carriage in her white and blue formal dress uniform, which does look pretty good. Yeah.
Oh my god, she looks so good.
Yep. Andre compliments her on the way in. She enters and everyone is staring. They note that it's the formal dress uniform, unlike her military uniform. This is the kind of uniform you can dance in. Marie approaches Oscar and asks if she's come to dance. She's like, you never dance. That's crazy. Who are you going to dance with, Oscar? Are you going to dance with the men or with the women? And Oscar says it's whatever Marie wants. Marie extends her hand and Oscar takes it. Oscar says that her one condition is that she will be her only dance partner tonight, and Marie understands and agrees. Oscar and Marie dance the night while Ferguson watches on.
I know. I was like, maybe this is Ferguson's fantasy. Like, two chicks, he's kind of into each other. He's into it. Oh, yeah.
This is why Andre was like, hell yeah, man, I got a plan. He's going to love this. Later that night, Oscar and Andre ride home. They're stopped partway by Ferguson, who's been waiting for them. Ferguson thanks Oscar for dancing with Marie. If she hadn't been there, he might have danced with her all night, and then everyone would have known about them, unlike now when they don't all know about him. It would have been a scandal. He continues, saying that he shouldn't have even come to the ball, but he just loves Marie so much he can't help himself. He's caused them all great suffering, and there's only one thing he can do now. He'll be a coward in her eyes, but he is going to run away. He tells Oscar to take care of Marie as Oscar calls after him, asking him where he's going. Oscar and Andre watch as he rides off. We cut to an army procession because Ferguson has joined the French troops in the American Revolution. Marie is informed that Ferguson has joined the army and will be a lieutenant commander under one Marquis de Lafayette. So, you know, it goes pretty well for him. He'll leave today. Marie, through tears, says to send a message to fight courageously and return safely. We see Ferguson ride off. At the Jarges estate, we see Andre look at Oscar as they take in the news. He excuses himself to leave, Oscar alone to cry as we cut to credits.
Friggin' Andre, so considerate.
He's like he's so good
so
in this
episode. He is so in touch. Yes!
He's the only person who understands what's happening and how to solve it.
Yes, God. He needs to take over as narrator. He's like the man who knows what's up. At least Marie Antoinette like elegantly cried and she just didn't like openly sob. Like maybe she's slowly starting to mature slightly.
Yeah, she's a little bit. She's been doing it for a while.
Run away
now,
like
you know.
She constantly does. Yeah.
She can do a little bit better, I guess. Yeah. What do we think about this episode? We're done with Ferguson for a while.
Yeah. Good. He's not as hot anymore, so good.
Get that Uggo out of here. Go fight an America, loser.
At least Andre's chin stayed the same. I don't know why this has happened to every other guy's chin. At least Andre's still looking good.
Yeah.
And Oscar looked incredible in that outfit.
Yep. Oscar looking hot in the uniform. Dancing with Marie Antoinette.
Mm-hmm.
Who's she going to dance with, the men or the women? She's like, I don't care. I'll dance with whoever you want.
I'm into this, like, I kind of wish she was into everybody. I wish Oscar was bi, maybe.
Yeah. That would be better. I feel like Oscar's not into anybody. I feel like she's the opposite.
Should be freaking person making the, like, would it be easier? It'd probably be easier for Andre if she just never showed interest in anyone.
Yeah, well, good news for him so far.
Yeah.
It's just been person, kind of.
Well, do you think person was knew she was kind of into him?
I don't know.
He's so blinded by Marie Antoinette's beauty, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They could have formed a polycule, you think?
You think if
Fersen and Andre went to that bar, maybe they'd get a little closer, and then everybody can just everybody except for Marie and Andre, who would just like kind of say hi to each other and leave. They could be like a whole little thing, you know? That's what you want your polycule to be. A queen, a Swedish guy, your guard who works for you, and your guard's right-hand man. There you go.
Hot.
Meanwhile, your husband makes locks in his forge.
God. Okay. Yeah. That kind of says it all. I don't have any like other things here.
Yeah, not a lot. I don't have that much to say either. Other than like Oscar can't scheme for shit. She's gotten so bad at this. Andre has to fix this problem for her. Embarrassing.
For real. Thank God he's there.
Nothing. I need Andre to survive. Andre must survive. I'm a little on the fence as to whether Oscar should survive, but Andre, sure.
Yeah.
Him and Rosalie need to make it out.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I'm hoping we get more about him. Like, because we had that one episode kind of about him, but I would like more Andre time where he can do something other than be Oscar's sidekick.
Yeah.
Like, something that, you know, makes him like, but bam, and then Oscar's like, oh damn, Andre, like I see you kind of thing.
I want an Andre Rosalie adventure.
Yeah, well, what if he like, because I was worried that he's gonna be like, this chick, she's into Oscar too, I don't need her getting in the way kind of thing, but they seem to be doing okay together.
Yeah, they're hanging out.
Yeah.
I really want to see Andre and Ferguson go chill at the bar and be bros. That would be fun.
Yeah, I feel like it just would have been like Ferguson would have been, woe is me, Marie Antoinette, this chick who married that I knew that getting into it. And then Andre's going to like snap at him and be like, dude, shut up. I don't want to hear about your problems. My problems. Blah,
Andre
blah,
be
blah.
Like,
and then,
hey, man, you want an apple?
Or some person who's seen the flyers like, hey, it's the guy.
Yeah, banging the queen. Like, they would recognize him immediately and they would throw him out.
Yeah, so
funny.
It's tragic. We'll never see it, probably.
It's too bad. Oh,
oh God. Okay, here we go.
All right, episode 21 is called A Black Rose Blooms at Night. We open on a smoke-filled casino. Jean is running the table. Cardinal Rohan comes to see her as she wins at roulette. He says he's come to ask her a favor as Jean places a huge bet all on one color or all on one number. That's a crazy bet, Jean, as the OP plays. We come back to Rohan and Jean in a cathedral. Rohan complains that he can't get an audience with the queen because she hates him. He says that he possesses all the treasure in the world except for the affections of the young and beautiful Marie Antoinette. Jean looks at him deviously. We cut to the sea. Oscar, Rosalie, and Andre are all there on vacation. They hang out and drink tea while Oscar tries to forget about Fersen. Andre suggests that they go for a ride. The three of them ride horses along the shore together, just like a little family. Isn't it great?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Suddenly, they come across Jean standing by the shore wearing an all-black dress. It's incredible. Icon.
I'm like, she reminds me of the lady Ursula turns into in The Little Mermaid. That's what I was giving.
It's so good. It's incredible. Oscar
hair
stops.
Hair loose.
Yeah. It's like floating in the wind. She's got this big billowy dress. Mm-hmm. She's got like the cape that's like purple. She's got like the sleeves is purple. Well, it's so good.
Just wearing all black.
Yeah.
Like,
hell yeah.
She is changing her style.
Yeah. She definitely picked the outfit
she's
for
like,
this.
Leaning into villain.
It's
like,
so
she's
good.
Going for it.
She's
yeah.
having such a good time. Oscar stops her horse to talk to her. Rosalie recognizes her but doesn't say anything yet. Jean introduces herself as Jean Violis to Oscar. Vowless. I don't know how to say that. Oscar asks why she's here, and John says that she's here to introduce herself. By the way, her husband, Nicholas, has just joined the Royal Guard, so please look after him. Oscar's like, did you seriously come all the way out here just to say that? And John's like, of course not. I brought this too. And a donkey carrying two huge jars of money walks over to Oscar. Oscar looks down at the bribe and is incensed. She smacks the donkey, sending it running, into John.
Leave the donkey alone.
She says that that's her answer and to remember it. John just laughs and says, wow, people like you really exist, huh? Unfortunately, you're the least interesting type of person. She walks away, and Oscar and Andre ride off. Sorry, go ahead.
The facade's up. She's donezo being the whole, like, hello, blah, blah, blah.
Well, she doesn't get mad or anything. She's just like, ah, okay, so this is how it is? Oh, you're really like this? Like, for real? Wow.
Well, unlike, I feel like Jean?
I'm saying Jean at this point.
Jean. I feel like she's going to be the best villainess of the show because she's got it. She's got the skills. She's got the right. She's been in poverty. She's not like having meltdowns publicly like Dewberry was. I feel like she's going to be the best.
She has the
because she's smart and
yes, she has the cunning of Dewberry, ambition. But she also can do the theater part.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? Like, she loves the theater aspect of this. Oh, she's so good. She walks away and Oscar and Andre ride off, but Rosalie hangs back. Oscar notices her missing too late, and Andre says that she'll catch up soon. Back at the beach, Jean and Rosalie talk to each other. Jean's like, wow, you've really made a nice life for yourself, huh, Rosalie, hanging out with the Jarges. And Rosalie's like, okay, I didn't do this on purpose. This just kind of happened. What did you want with Oscar anyway? And Jean's thing, she's like, oh, things are going well for me too. Thanks for asking. We're both our own person. How about we just stay out of each other's way? Given how miserable our upbringings were, surely God would forgive us no matter what we did, huh? And then she leaves because she's incredible. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Paris, Jean meets with Rohan and reports that Oscar took the bribe. They're going to use her to get to Marie, and Rohan is completely on board, even as Jean asks for another 100,000 livres so that she can arrange a marriage with the queen. That bribe was, I think it was, what, 50,000?
Yeah, something like that.
60,000 livres. Jean will meet with her. Jean will meet with the queen and then set up a meeting with Rohan. She walks over and kisses him and sits on his lap, and Rohan agrees to the plan because that's how you get a huge amount of money. In a carriage, Jean wipes her mouth. I made sure to note that down.
Well, yeah, ew, he's he's gross. I'll get into it. Yeah,
I can see why Marie hates this guy.
Yes.
Back at the apartment, Nicholas asks what they should do with the bribe that Oscar didn't take. He's like, should we give it back? And John's like, what the fuck? No, we're not going to give it back. John is like, oh, okay, but what are we going to do about Rohan then? John tells him to let her worry about Rohan, he should just keep an eye on Oscar to make sure that she didn't like get suspicious over the whole bribe thing. During training, Oscar sees Nicholas asks Ghirardel about him. God, these names. He's like, oh yeah, that guy just joined recently.
Like, and Oscar's like, oof, and he doesn't look like he's doing that good. So embarrassing that she is bragging that that's her husband.
Oh yeah, I mean, she does not really like him.
She is not married to him.
She is not married to him. He's just kind of a big oaf. He is the only one not wearing a hat, which is funny. He's also huge.
His chin has gotten the largest from this shift. And
he's also just a massive guy.
Out of control. Yeah.
Like when he's sort of like he's dueling with the other guy, he's like towering over him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Jean tells Rohan that she will meet with Marie, that she met with Marie and was able to put in a recommendation for him. She says that Marie has changed her mind and wants to exchange letters with Rohan now, and Rohan is ecstatic. In a seedy apartment, Jean buys a forgery response letter to Rohan from a forger. We're bringing back the forgers, baby. All these guys in these little cavern houses.
Making big bucks.
That's
the profession to do.
Yeah.
For real.
It's a good one.
It's like the third time we've relied on one for an evil plot.
Yeah, dude. And she's so like leaning into the whole thing. She's like dropping the coins on the ground.
Like, yeah, like she is entwined in like the underworld. And she's like, knows everybody who's up to no good and is like buddy buddy with them, and they're all familiar with her. So she is setting herself up to have a lot of resources to work with.
Yep. She's like, I'm down here looking hot. You want me? Pick these coins up off the ground. I'm walking away. Bye. It's so good. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
She's really pretty. Yeah. She's prettier than Rosalie, I think, for sure.
Back in Versailles, Rohan. Matters. What?
Not that matters.
Yeah. Mm. Back in Versailles, Rohan gets the forged letter and completely buys it. Jean tells him that Marie requested a donation of 50,000 livres as a token of his loyalty, and Rohan eagerly agrees. Back in their apartment, Nicholas is thrilled to have so much money. He's like, with this much money, we can live in luxury for 10 years easy. Jean, who's like very sexily lying in bed, says that that's just the start. They can wring Rohan dry if they wanted to. And then she downs like a quarter of a bottle of vodka. Nicholas is like, hey, whoa, I don't know if you should drink that much. And Jean tells him to leave her alone. Then she comments saying that that they live in such an interesting world, isn't it? And Nicholas is like, not really. But then she yells at him saying that it has to be interesting. It must be interesting. Nicholas asks, she's crying. I love her.
She's so mean. Is she like just...
If I was evil, if I was an like evil a... hot woman, it would be me.
Okay, sorry, I was wrong. You're not the eye patch pirate man.
If I was not a hot evil lady, I would be the eye patch guy.
Gotcha.
If I was a hot evil lady, I would be doing this. I'd be like scamming some loser, kind of just for the fun of it. Like, I don't really even need the money at this point. I just want to not be bored.
Well, it seems like she's a little like trying to find what it is that makes her happy, and this isn't necessarily it, but she's going to double down in the hopes that it is if she gets it on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
So, well, like, what is it that would truly make her happy? That's the vibe I'm getting. Like, she seems like this isn't satisfying her.
No, but
she's
not
going to change. She's too far in or something.
Yeah. I have a whole idea about this at the end, I guess.
Okay.
We cut to a ball in Versailles. The nobles are all scandalized that Cardinal Rohan is here, even though Marie hates him. He's not supposed to be here. They all talk about how both Marie and her mother hated this guy while he cartoonishly bops around the room.
He is the most cartoony person we've ever, even more than Ichan in Angelic Lair. Like, it's insane. Like, nuisance to society.
It was very... God. It's very like how Dopey is in Snow White. Like, it's just like bopping around, being a little cartoon man, jumping around, drinking 30 drinks all at once.
Gross.
It's very good.
Oh, yeah. He cleaned out the bar. Yep.
I love how he's such a little freak. Rohan goes to a side hall and sees Oscar. He walks up to her and thanks her for the help and walks off. And Oscar's like, what? Who was that? What was that? Marie is about to make her entrance. Rohan goes to see her in the hallway, but as soon as she catches sight of him, she turns around and leaves. And Rohan is incensed. It's incredibly funny.
Yeah. Ew, he's so gross. And just knowing he's like lusting after you. Ew.
Yup.
Yuck. Like, cause she's like impulsively canceled her for like things with Dewberry, but I'm like, this is like a reasonable reason to be like, ew, gross, I'm out of here.
Yep.
And he's so, how could he, can't believe it,
he can't believe it. They're secret correspondence. Later that evening, Rohan complains to Jean and Nicholas that Marie rebuffed him, and Jean is like, yeah, what part of secret correspondence did you not understand? Jean says it's okay, just let her handle it, it'll all work out. And Rohan says that he'll trust her for now, but he's gonna have some people look into whether she really got an audience with Marie. She's gonna start checking her work and seeing if she actually did that stuff. Jean looks nervous only for a moment, while Nicholas looks nervous all the time because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
She tells Rohan that in 4 weeks, she'll arrange a secret rendezvous with Marie in the woods. And Rohan is immediately back on board.
Good Lord.
Later, Jean and Nicholas go to a brothel. Inside, they find a woman who looks exactly like Marie, except she's blind. Nicholas is like, I can't believe this is crazy. You actually plan stuff? I thought you were just saying that. You said 4 weeks, and I was like, how are you going to do that, babe? Because he's dumb.
She's got it all figured out. Yeah.
I love how stupid he is.
She knows everything. She like knows everything. It's crazy. Like,
she loves skiing. This.
She must not sleep at night.
She lives for this.
Yeah. Lee.
Some time passes and it's the night of the rendezvous. Rohan sets out while Jean prepares the blind woman to act as Marie Antoinette. She says she only has to say one line and then hand Rohan a rose. Easy. He's dumb. He'll fall for it.
Yep.
Elsewhere, Oscar decides to scout the grounds that the king will walk tomorrow after a meeting. We cut to Rohan and John meeting up in the woods of Versailles. She points him to the fake Marie, and Rohan is beside himself. He's so beside himself that he doesn't even notice that it's a fake Marie that is obviously blind. It isn't even like looking at him or really interacting with him. She says her canned line and then hands him the rose. Rohan is about to talk to her more, but Jean rushes in to tell him that someone's coming, and Rohan books it while Jean just laughs. But then Nicholas is like, Jean, actually somebody is coming, and sees that it's Oscar, which is pretty funny.
Worst case scenario for them.
Worst case scenario, Oscar somebody agreed. Actually shows up. Rohan being a little creep, like prostrating himself in front of fake Marie.
He's disgusting.
Yeah.
They better be paying this girl good.
I mean, they got the money from it. I mean, they got the money to pay her good.
Yeah, but I can see them getting her fake money because she's freaking blind and can't see.
Yeah, they may want to use her in the future, you know? It's always nice to have.
That's true. That would be good to have a queen double.
Right. Her acting needs to be a little bit better. She should be, like, looking at him because, you know, you can hear where he's talking from. She could look at him.
Yeah.
Jean, Nicholas, and fake Marie all flee. They get lost in the woods, though, and end up at a dead end against a pond. Nicholas is like, what are we gonna do? But Jean steals herself and tells him to get a grip. She takes his short sword and tells him to swim the fake Marie across. They dive in and swim while Jean walks back towards Oscar, holding the sword under her sash. Oscar hears the dive, but runs into Jean before she can get to the water. She's like, did you hear a splash? And Jean says, no, it must have just been a fish or something. They stare each other down because obviously it wasn't a fish till Oscar asks why she's out there. And Jean says that she was just taking a walk. Jean excuses herself and walks past Oscar, having got out of that one barely. We see her pass Oscar while clutching the sword as we cut to credits.
I thought she was going to try to stab her or something.
She was gonna. She was ready.
It was so obvious. Just hold like... Oscar should be better at perceiving. Yeah.
Oscar's terrible at this.
What's happening to Oscar these episodes? She's losing it. She's losing her edge.
She's out of it. You know? Head empty. Only sword fight. Don't think about France. Don't think about your feelings. Don't think about how maybe you're in love with a guy who's just gonna get killed in America. Only think about your job.
Yeah.
Head empty.
Lord.
Anyway, you know whose head is empty? Jean, who's queen. Incredible. Yeah. Just incredible work this episode.
Yeah, she, because, like, can actually feign, like, perceive the situation and act accordingly.
Yeah.
She has problem-solving skills that no one else has possessed up to this point.
Yep. Right now, the most competent people are Jean, followed closely by Andre. Those two need to go on an adventure together.
Oh, man. Yeah. I guess we'll see.
Oh, can you imagine... a Jean-Andre team up, like if it was him instead of Nicholas, they would be unstoppable. They would become the king and queen of France. They could do it.
Lord. Yeah. He's too into Oscar.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything Oscar could do that would like push Andre off her where he would like leave her side?
Or is he just like
blindly devoted?
He's pretty like, he isn't that ideological. Like, he is the most in touch with people that would be revolutionaries, right? Like, he goes to the bar, right? To let him in, you know? So he's kind of straddling both things. He doesn't give a shit about nobles, clearly. So I don't think he'd feel bad about that. He'd only feel bad about Oscar. So I feel like if he could extract Oscar and Rosalie safely, he would be out.
Uh-huh.
Because like, he is probably the most disaffected or like uninterested and like knows this is all bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's him and Ghirardelle, honestly. Like, Ghirardelle also knows that this is all bullshit.
Yes. He just doesn't have the same. I don't know. We barely see him.
Yeah, we don't know him.
I wonder if he'll like show up more at some point.
I hope so. I like him.
Maybe Oscar leaves and then they have to face off because he takes her place as lead or something.
Yeah. Jean rules. She's the only one living in the real. I think she's the most understands how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
I like how she's like scamming this shitty guy.
Dumbass.
She's not even like a bad guy particularly. I feel like you're fine to scam this guy. Who cares?
She's just, that's right. Because she's not like no one's being harmed that doesn't deserve it with her schemes, really.
Yeah.
So far.
I mean, I think it's interesting how, like, she does not act, like, unlike Rosalie, who's like, oh, I shouldn't get revenge. I should think about my future and, like, what I want to be and all this other stuff. And she's, like, figuring that out. Jean is like, I'm sorry, future? What? We don't have a future. I'm just going to go do fun things with the time I have. That's what she does.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm assuming she'll have a bigger role to play at some point.
I hope so.
To see what that is.
Yeah.
How are we feeling now? Where the freaking show has taken a left turn. It feels so much darker and heavier than it did before.
I think it's incredible.
I'm just assuming this is the path we're on. Yeah.
Incredible.
It's just going to be like nonstop.
I'm having such a good time.
Yeah. Lots to talk about. For sure.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh.
So episode 19, the best episode?
I think so, yeah.
So far?
Do you have a favorite episode so far?
Tragic ass episode. Well, I guess the one that got me the most excited is when Oscar was like, what about me? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that's got me the most like hyped up to watch it. And gosh, just like, oh my God, the whole time watching these. Well, and I was like, what happened to freaking Rosalie and Holniak after episode 19? I was like, were we just not addressing them at all? And then I think we see Rosalie at some point, maybe, but like, or yeah, we see Rosalie.
She talks to Jean
on the beach and stuff. So I was like, and she seems to be feeling a little better. I don't know how much time has passed between those episodes, but
I bet that like that happened, maybe? and then Oscar's like, maybe we should go on vacation.
Yeah, okay, so immediate. It's just we're at the point where it's like, you know, wrapping up Fersen.
The end of Fersen.
You know, it's a lot of like, we'll see where it goes with a lot of characters right now.
Is it like Fersen goes and joins the American Revolution? Wasn't he supposed to go settle back in Sweden? Why didn't he just do that? He had to go to war.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what about your wifey you're supposed to find?
I guess if he joins the army, he can't get married because he's in America now.
Yeah. Also, I wonder if rumors reach Sweden that.
Oh, yeah, dude. He was supposed to go back. They know he's missing. Everybody knows.
Yes. He's supposed to meet a marriage candidate and all this and that, and then freaking.
Oh, how awkward. He's supposed to marry an English woman, and he's going to go fight the English in America.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, man. Well, I guess, I don't know, Sweden's closer to England than France, right?
I don't know. Maybe. It's pretty close.
Okay, I don't know.
It would be pretty close.
Don't test us on our geography. Cool. Well,
Oscar really letting us down. Oscar's really lost some points these three episodes.
I was kind of like, I don't know about Oscar. And then I was like, yeah, Oscar. And now I'm like, Oscar, what's happening? So you're right. I do think it's going to go the route if she just goes down with the sinking ship.
It's so sad. I hope something snaps her out of it. You know what I mean? Like, she used to be different.
Yeah. Yep. Life beaten down. Justice.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, maybe Jean does something so shocking that she remembers back to the old days when Duke Orleans was the bad guy. Think that snap her out of it?
What happened to that guy?
I don't know. He's gone.
No, because we see him.
We do
in
see
the
him.
Oopsie episode we saw. So he comes back at some point.
Yeah, that's true. He does. He does come back, but we haven't seen him in a while. I just don't know.
Join forces with. Well, we'll see.
Well, the American Revolution's happening now, which means France's financial situation is wrecked.
Yes.
So they're only they're less than 10 years away.
Yeah. Well, and we're over halfway now, so it's on from here.
It's on. So a note about episode, what is it?
19, 20, 21.
No. That like, we're going to be watching next time.
34. Oh.
22. It's about. I'm going to bring this up, but I'm sorry. I'm not doing this faster. I should have had this on deck, but I didn't. Yeah. So there's an episode 24. Uh-huh. Originally, there was an episode called Portrait of the Burning Rose, which is like a shortened
And then what happens?
It's like a compilation episode or something. But I think instead we do episode 24, which may also be a compilation episode. Let me look.
Ooh, skipping episodes? Oh, dear. Not like just a recap of everything that's happened or random stories?
No. Episode 24 is not a recap episode.
Like the one episode in Chihayafuru. Yeah. That was just a bunch of random crap.
I think it originally was. There's a phantom episode.
Phantom episode.
Yeah. The original, the 24 used to be The Portrait of a Burning Rose, but instead it became Adieu, My Youth. It was only broadcast one time and has never been released on DVDs or any other video format. There are very little is known about the episode except for testimony of the few who reportedly seen it.
Was something scandalous shown and they had to pull it?
No.
What happened, Joe?
They just had a compilation episode and then they got rid of it.
Oh, okay. Thought there's going to be some drama.
Although apparently there's some new stuff in there, but people don't know what it is because you just had to be there. You just had to be there. But we're not going to watch the Phantom episode because it doesn't exist to me. We're just going to watch episodes 22, 23, and 24.
Okay.
John's going to be in
it. Okay.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Stop looking at it.
Okay. Stop looking at it.
Don't look. All right. Instead, we'll look for your reviews.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can say it too. Rate us five. If you enjoyed this conversation, if you want to watch episode 19 four times like I did, you probably want to rate us 5 stars, or you should do it because we're asking you nicely. Please rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice, and then post about us in social media. We're on Instagram and we're on TikTok or something.
Yeah.
You post about us. Tell your friends. Tell your friends. Mostly you should tell your friends, because honestly, you probably know people that would like The Rose of Versailles, because I think most people would. You should tell them about it.
Yeah,
and you should
really
be like,
good.
Watch this podcast. Listen to this podcast while watching this show. Mm-hmm. Because people binge stuff. I don't think you should binge stuff. I'm really into watching things slowly. And if you watch it like week per week, or even if you like spread it out a little bit, you know, at least you can't like watch them all in a row with us. You have to watch 3 episodes and then listen to like 2 hours of us talking about the show, which is 2 hours, which is longer than the length of the show that we talked about. And then you get to watch the next one. So you get like a nice little break in it. So it's fun.
Yeah. I don't know if any other podcasts, because I like Googled Rose of Versailles podcast, and I don't know that many other, if any of others, have done like extended like episode review like this. I think they just do like an overview of the entire series in one episode, so
which is like
in-depth ride along.
Yeah, that would be really hard. If I had to talk about like the first half of the show in one episode,
yeah,
I don't even know what I would say.
6-hour-long episode.
Like, wow, it sure is crazy that Oscar became the commander of the Royal Guard, I guess. I don't know what you'd talk about. There's so much stuff to talk about. We talked about episode 19 for like 35 minutes.
Yeah, yes. But yeah, okay, cool. We'll keep pumping these out. Hopefully you guys keep listening.
Yeah.
And any takeaway lessons of the day? Stay away from frog statues.
I think you should listen to the frog statues.
Okay.
You know, maybe the frog statue is your reflection. I don't know what that means, because I don't know what the symbolism of
the frog is.
Here's
what we're learning today. Get the old man and see out of school criteria. You guys should be analyzing the Rose of Versailles.
What's a good takeaway?
Help children asking for help.
That's true. If you see a child that is in distress because they are being abused by their parents, you should do something about it. You shouldn't tell them to go back inside. All the people that are all about parents' rights is because they want to do stuff like this to their kid. That's why they're mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the tradition that they want to go back to. Hey, remember when you could just marry your daughters off for political favors? Ugh. Too bad we can't do that anymore.
Those were the times.
Bring it back, I guess.
Okay.
God. What did we actually learn? Yeah, keep a poker face, you know? Grab that knife, conceal it under your sash, and then you gotta wait. And if she doesn't call you on it, just walk right past her. You don't have to try to fight Oscar Jarges, the commander of the Royal Guard. That's a bad idea. You should just play it cool. Just play it cool, you know? And scam an old guy.
We're giving so many lessons at the every episode.
Scam.
More than one.
If there's an old shitty guy who everybody hates and you have the opportunity to get a bunch of money from him, you should do it. I don't even think that's morally wrong. I think that's morally right. Because the nobility ain't going to do anything. Right. They're not going to scam this fool. They're going to let him keep doing whatever he does. They let that other guy who's like a big pedophile just walk around and everybody knows it. Scam him.
Ugh.
Or shoot him.
All right.
Freaking Oscar should have shot Duke Guamina. It's the most I've been like, I can't believe she didn't shoot that guy. He could have been dead. She should have shot him dead.
Okay. All right. On that note, of which I think we've ended on that note, if he should have died.
If you ever get scorned by love, if it ever destroys your body, just join some revolution somewhere across the world. Just join the army or whatever. I'm sure it'll go great for you. I'm sure it's going to go great for person. Nothing bad's going to happen to him. It'll be all good.
Mm-hmm.
Just run away. But not in like a fun way, in like a death way. Become a pirate.
Okay.
Just say, fuck it. I'm getting the hand accordion. I'm becoming a pirate. I'm done. I'm done with this shit. I wasn't born a hot evil lady, and so I'm becoming a pirate man who plays the accordion. Just do that. Let me tell you, the political situation would be way different if the majority of people became a pirate accordion player. That's my new political party.
Forget One Piece.
The
pirates are
It's all just sea shanties.
They don't have an instrument.
It's all just you know, little ditties you play.
I am now forever, when I hear sea shanty, I'm gonna think of when you drew the siren in Pictionary, because I was like, it's either siren or sea shanties. And I was
it's either a siren, the mythical creature that sings, or a sea shanty, the song, the concept of the song.
Cause like you could have drawn just like a ambulance siren.
Yeah, but I was doing like a siren from the Odyssey, you know, the one where I think of where sirens are from.
We were on the same team. See, we should have been at that point.
See, this is why I can't become a pirate playing accordion pirate man, because nobody would get it. They'd be like, what is this a reference to? They wouldn't know I'm that guy from
The
Rose of Versailles.
Okay, you just cosplay as that guy.
Oh my God, I should cosplay as that guy. And they're going to be like, who are you? And I'll be like, ooh, I bet you want to know.
I have no name.
You must be wondering. You need to watch this show called The Rose of Versailles. I'll be so
popular. Okay,
and they'll be like, isn't that about Marie Antoinette? And I'd be like,
okay, we're done here.
I be a guy who shows up for two scenes.
But iconic and memorable. Oh my God.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thanks for humoring us, everybody. Thanks for listening. You know, see you next week, where I'm sure it's going to get even more insane.
See you next week for more adventures in France.